are going to continue our discussion, and we're going at the speed of light, man. We're up to John chapter 4, and we're going to get that finished today, and we're also going to incorporate a few more verses out of John today, but we're going to go through continuing our discussion in discovering Jesus, Mr. Jamin Booker, discovering Jesus through the Gospel of John. And our sermon title today is going to be called Signs and Wonders. Signs and Wonders. So our go-to verse, our verse that we're going to use, John 1:14. Some of the greatest words, perhaps the greatest words ever recorded in human history. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. We saw him. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Boy, this is wonderful, fantastic, glorious news in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation that we live in.
Amen.
Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
It is a crooked and perverse generation, but I have glorious news for those that can hear it. He was full of, we saw him, and he was full of grace and truth. You know, let's put verse 18 up. I know it's not part of the Bible lesson, but let's put verse 18 up. It'll fit my sermon title anyway, or what we're going to say. And I'm trying to keep everything pretty easy, but I want to make sure. John 1:18, let's put that up. No one has seen God at any time. Of course, this is talking about, this introduces the concept of the Trinity, and it's talking about two in the Trinity here. No one has seen God the Father at any time. Everybody cool? Everybody understand that? No one has seen God the Father at any time. The only begotten Son, the Word who was made flesh, the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. One translation says, he has made him known. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you know, this is going to fit what we're going to teach today. Jesus said, if you've seen me, listen to this now. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, Jazz, I'm thinking of Jasmine right now because Jazz is in Hawaii and we need to keep praying for Bryant and Leslie and the family. But if Jazz was sitting here right now, would there be any doubt that her parents were Leslie and Bryant? Because if you, could you say it like this? If you've seen Jaslyn, you've seen Leslie and Bryant. Could we even go as far as to say that about Publius? Publius, would it even be true? Now, both of the kids that I had the pleasure of bringing into the world with Teresa Marie Browning, I really believe they do look way more like her than me. And Robert would say, thank God. And I'll forgive you for saying it. But could we also say if you've seen Jordan, you've seen Mark? In fact, didn't you go to work at this new job and somebody tell you that you look just like me? Or all during tax season, didn't people say that? And didn't you say thank you so much? Huh? Amen. Well, over here, we have some children over here that are going to be excited because I'm going to pick on them. If you've seen them, you've seen Lasso, amen, and Sarah, right? So in other words, Jesus is saying that he represented God the Father, right? He represented, the book of Hebrews says that he is the exact representation of Almighty God. And if you've seen him, you've seen the Father. Here's the reality of what we're going to teach today. And I want everybody to know up front that we're not any better than anybody else. And we should have done a better job. But the reality is that if you've seen the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, you should be seeing Jesus. Come on now. See, it's not about burning incense and going through some kind of religious ceremony or standing and sitting and kneeling and standing and sitting and kneeling or fulfilling some kind of obligation. It's actually representing Jesus Christ. If you've seen the church, you've seen Jesus. That's how it ought to be. Right? he has declared him. So in John chapter 4, he has ministered to the Samaritan woman, and he's caused a revival in Samaria. All the people come out to see about him, and he stays a few days, and he leads people into the truth that he's the Messiah. He heads back to Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine in a city called Cana. See? I say these things because what I want to do like 5 minutes later is I want to come back and ask you, what city did he go in? Teresa.
Cana.
Oh, man. I don't know, Litchfield? Anyway. So he goes back to Galilee to a city of Cana where he turned the water into wine. And there's a gentleman there that's got a son that's at the point of death. How many of you know that any decent parent wouldn't like that situation? So his son's at the point of death, and so the nobleman inquires about whether Jesus will come and heal him. And so we're going to pick it up in this verse, John chapter 4, this verse, the very first verse in the lesson, right here. John chapter 4, come on now, I got to. Then Jesus said to him, he said it to the nobleman, right? He said it to him. Is he saying it to us? And then I'm going to bring up something. Then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. How many of you have ever seen the movie The Martian with Matt Damon? I don't like Matt Damon, but I do like him as Jason Bourne. How many of you do like him as Jason Bourne? How many of you have seen the movie The Martian? I think it's, have y'all seen it? Have the kids seen it? You shook your head. See, you can relate to the sermon this morning. They all went to Mars. By the way, they say all this stuff couldn't have really happened, but he went to Mars, and some storm comes up, and he gets left behind, and they all think he's dead. Am I jogging y'all's memory? It was a good movie. It really was. There's a couple of lines in there that Jordan likes to quote because they're cuss words. And I don't know, for some reason he just likes to say cuss words. But anyway, and we laugh at him when he does it. Instead of being Christian and scolding him and telling him, get behind me, Satan. Anyway, he gets left behind on Mars, and they assume that he's dead. Come to find out he's not dead. And so they begin to communicate, and they say this really couldn't happen, but they begin to communicate with him by like typewriter, whatever it is, you know. They'll type something, and then it takes a certain period of time for him to see what they're typing, and then he types a reply back, right? Anybody remember that? Remember that, James? So anyway, they typed something to him, and I don't remember what it was. His answer was, and I can't remember. Do you remember? It's one of your favorite movies. They ask him to do something, and he types a response back. But the way he answers it back, listen to this very carefully. The way he answers it back depends on how you punctuate it. See? So, in other words, I won't be able to do that. Maybe let's say that was the answer. I won't be able to do that. And I think one of the characters in the movie said, does he mean I won't be able to do it or I won't be able to do it? I'm not making sense. I wish I knew the line in the movie. So for this phrase, for many years, and by the way, the translators don't make any effort to give you an exclamation point. Anybody ever follow me much on Facebook? A few of you do. I wish more of you did. How many of you know I'm a lover of exclamation points? Especially when I'm talking about the line administration that's in Washington, D.C. now. How many of you know I get really exclamationed? Joe Biden is a fraud. Exclamation, 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 right? There is no such thing as an Inflation Reduction Act. Exclamation, exclamation, exclamation. If you get a student loan, you ought to pay it back. Exclamation, exclamation. Okay. But here there's no exclamation. But when I used to read this verse, I would read it like Jesus was being negative. I would. How many? Can anybody relate to me? I would read it like he was saying, unless you people, you know, how many of you had a teacher that whenever they meant something, they'd put their arms on their hips unless you people start paying attention, we are not going to have recess. I'm going to start saying that to all my Wednesday night Bible students. All right. So if you say it like this, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. That would come across as negative, wouldn't it? Like, you know, come on. But, you know, the more I think about it and the more I'm around people, I believe he meant it exactly the way it's written. I believe he was making a statement of fact. And the statement he was making was this: unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. In other words, it's not just enough for natural human beings to be told something. Listen to me. Oh, praise the Lord and thank you, Jesus. It's not just enough for natural human beings to be told something. Natural human beings have to be showed something. And that's what breaks my heart about the church, the real church, the born-again church. We haven't done enough showing. We've done a whole lot of towing. We've done a lot of talking, but we haven't done a whole lot of showing. And really, Jesus is saying, unless people see signs and wonders, they won't believe. And so to finish up the story of the nobleman's son, he says to him, go your way, your son will live. And the Bible says that the nobleman believed what he said. How many of you are glad that the nobleman believed what he said? Do you understand there's an element of faith involved? It's not just up to God. It's never been just up to God. If it had been just up to God, all of us would be converted and come to the glorious knowledge of the truth. But we have a free will. We have a choice we can make. But he told the nobleman, go your way, your son lives. The nobleman believed what Jesus said to him. And the Bible says at that moment, the son got better. Amen. You listening to me? But that's not going to be my main focus. My main focus is that Jesus Christ himself, the Word made flesh, said that unless what he said was backed up by works, by action, people would have a hard time receiving it. And so when you get to chapter 10, they're always on him about, you know, that he shouldn't be doing what he's doing and that who does he think he is, making him out to be the Son of God. But what did he want him to do, lie? He was the Son of God. He was the Messiah. He was the Word made flesh. And so they kept getting on him about it. And so finally, one of the things that he would say to them to show them that he wasn't just talking the talk was something that he says here in John chapter 10, verse 37. We'll start right here. John chapter 10, verse 37. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. So listen to me very carefully. Let's think about this. And John's gospel is different than the other three gospels, in that he only talks about seven or eight miracles, seven or eight supernatural things. The rest of them talk about a bunch of things, but let's talk about it. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. Up to this time, I think I can do it by memory. Up to this time, he's turned the water into wine. How many of you know that's pretty cool? How many of you know the wedding guests were grateful that they didn't run out of wine, right? That's pretty cool. Oh, I'm testing myself here. Then he gets over into chapter 4, and actually the next supernatural thing, in chapter 4, he heals the nobleman's son, right? You're going to find out in chapter 5, and we're going to talk about this when we get back in a couple of weeks, you'll find out in chapter 5 that he heals the crippled man at the pool of Bethesda, something like that. That's close, right? You'll find that out. In chapter 6, he feeds what turns out to be at least 15,000 people, because all they did in the Bible time was count the men, and there were 5,000 men there. You got to figure most of the men had a wife and some kids, so at a minimum there were 10,000 people there, probably at least 15,000 to 20,000, and he fed 15,000 to 20,000 people with five loaves of bread and two fish. That's pretty cool. Huh? Is that pretty cool? And then when they got done, because he's a conservationist, oh my, Jesus is a conservationist. They picked up the scraps and had 12 baskets full of leftovers that they went and turned over to the soup kitchen at the Salvation Army. Are you with me? And then after he feeds the 10 or 15,000 people, they want to come and make him a king. John's the only one that tells you this. That's why God had four people write these stories, because this is the greatest life ever lived. If it had been me, I'd have had them write about 7,000 stories about me. But God is humble. Y'all know that? Do you know God's humble? Do you know God's humble? Think about all the lying that's been said on God. All the things that God's been accused of. Think about all the false doctrine that's in the Christian church that blames God for sickness and disease and sorrow and pain and agony and strife and lust. But he's humble. So they want to come, and John's the only one that tells it. They want to come and they want to make him a king. And he says, oh, no, can't happen. Can't happen. I can't be a king till I die. So he tells the disciples, you go in a boat and go to the other side, and I'll meet you over there. They don't even consider, well, how's he going to get over there? Bicycle? He's going to invent the airplane. That's what he's going to do. Anyway, he calms the crowd down, and then he walks on the water and gets in the boat with them. How many of you know that's pretty cool? You met anybody else you know that can walk on water? And then the other thing about it, once he gets in the boat, because they've been out there struggling to row your boat. They're struggling to row. The wind's contrary and they can't get very far. Once he gets in the boat, the Bible says immediately the boat went to the other side. He didn't have time to wait for them to row. I'm busy. And then just to get us to chapter 10, and then in chapter 9, and this is just about the only thing that John talks about other than raising Lazarus from the dead after being in a grave for 4 days and starting to stink. In chapter 9, he encounters a man that's blind from birth, and he heals him. So, here's the thing. Here's what you need to understand. Was that God's will? Was it God's will to heal the crippled man? Was it God's will to heal the nobleman's son? Was it God's will to heal the man born blind? Was it God's will to feed the 10 or 15,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish? Is it God's will to help humanity? Is it God's will for the church to represent Jesus the way that Jordan ought to represent me? Is it God's will for us to do the same thing and to be a blessing and a demonstration to the goodness of God to the world instead of being religion and come to our church so you can be religious? No, it's about helping humanity through the power of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? So he says, if I do not do the works of my Father, then don't believe it. But thank God for verse 38. Don't believe it if I don't. But verse 38 says, look at this, look. But if I do, everybody say that. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Oh, I'm seeing why. See, God, I was going another direction and God woke me up this morning. Not really. Let me tell that truthfully. I woke up on my own. I'm kind of glad of that. But when I did wake up, I realized that he wanted me to kind of go a little different direction than I was going to go in. I realized that he wanted me to show that what Jesus did represented God the Father. Listen very carefully. Very good what I'm going to say here. What Jesus did represented God the Father, and what the church of the Lord Jesus Christ ought to be doing is representing Jesus Christ, who represented God the Father. And again, I am not standing up here and doing my chest like Tarzan because I've succeeded at this, but I am going to continue to tell people the way it ought to be. And talk about some reasons why I think it's been difficult. But anyway, he says, but if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. So, you know, there's a certain segment of real, genuine Christians so far who would go along with most of what I've just said. Do you know that? I won't even bring up a denomination because the title of last week's sermon, Chris Saylor isn't here, but the title of last week's sermon was what, Trace?
Non-denomination.
Thank you. So I won't even bring up a denomination, but up to this point, a lot of good, sincere Christian churches wouldn't really get upset about much of what I've said. But here's what they would continue to say if you gave them enough rope to say it with. Well, yes, now that's really good, and I can tell that the minister's excited about it, and I can tell that he believes what he's talking about, but that was Jesus. And Jesus is Jesus, and we're not. You know, we're not Jesus. Now, we're trying to be. Oh, God knows we're trying. Mostly on Sunday morning, not that much on Monday. I'm having a little fun. And they'd say, that was Jesus, and that all passed away when the apostles all died. But I've got a verse in John that don't go along with that. You got your shouting clothes on, or you got your crying clothes on? John 14:12. Listen, the same person that said John 10:38 says this. Most assuredly. Everybody say most assuredly.
Most assuredly.
That means he's putting emphasis on it, right? Gosh, I've said this before. I don't think I've said it a while. When I was a kid, and in my house, my mother ran our house. Anybody else? Don't raise your hand. I'll just tell you, my mother ran that. My dad was always just out trying to make a living to feed us. And by the way, I understand that now. I'll put something in the refrigerator that I think is going to be there for like 3 days, and I open the refrigerator door, and it's gone. It's vanished. I said, Jordan, what happened? He said, I don't know, Dad. It's a mystery. You know, I had two containers of salsa. And so now here's what I have to do now. You know what I have to do now? I do the grocery shopping on Monday. Not because Teresa's lazy, because she actually has a real job. I do too, but my busy season's not right now. Anyway, you know what I got to do now at home? I come out with the groceries on Monday, and I have to tell him that, all right, there's two containers of salsa. One's for you and one's for me. You have to do that, Dr. Kukar? One's for you. Huh? Just get ready. My mother was, you know, you went to her if you wanted something. And by the way, you rarely ever got anything because we were low middle class. We didn't have a lot of money. You know, I'm grateful for that because if I wanted new shoes for school, you know what I had to do to get them? Mow the grass. Mow the neighbor's grass. Are you listening to me? But anyway, on a rare occasion when I'd ask for something, and she'd say yes, and it would have to be, I can't even think of what it would be, because you wouldn't get anything. In our house, let me just finish the grocery story up. So we go on Monday. I shouldn't make fun of Jordan. I'll tell on us. I go to the grocery on Monday, and our groceries usually do last till the next Monday. I noticed this morning we're completely out of orange juice and grape juice. For the love of God, what are we going to do? Just drink water? Pete, you don't just drink water, do you? But anyway, in our house, for whatever reason, I think it had something to do with Daddy's paycheck, Mama would go to the grocery every Thursday, and I swear, as God is my witness, if we ate anything special, it was all gone Friday morning. Man, we were in that getting those chips out and whatever was left, and then on Friday morning, it was just, there ain't nothing in this house to eat. But on those rare occasions when she would say to me, okay, I'm going to let you have that, you know what I'd say back to her? Really and truly? Really and truly, Mom? You're really and truly? Really and truly, I am going to get a new baseball glove? Really and truly? That's what Jesus is saying here. Really and truly. Say that, everybody.
Really and truly.
So don't be lying and saying that all this stuff passed away with him, because he said really and truly. Really, really and truly, I say to you. And then this is this line right here. This blows all that out about the apostles and when once they died. He who believes in me. Let me ask you a question. We got about 20 in here. 20 glorious, brave souls this morning. Amen. It got out of bed and came at 8:30 in the morning. Amen. How many of y'all believe in Jesus? Then that verse of scripture has become automatically a circle verse. That verse is for us. That verse isn't just for Paul the apostle or Peter the apostle or Thomas the apostle. That verse is for Mark and Teresa, right? Y'all see that? And Donnie. Praise the Lord. Most assuredly, or really, really and truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, that's me, that's me. I'm one of those people. The works that I do, are you kidding me? The works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Now I'm going to explain that verse to you. I can tell you, I can help you with this. So you're telling me that what Jesus did, we're going to do. I'm not just telling you, Jesus said it. And then you're telling me that Jesus is saying, I'm going to do something even greater than he did. I'll tell you what that was. Remember I told you that we gave $1,000. I want this on the radio. This will make me some friends. How many of you know I could use a few? This will make me some friends. Y'all heard me say that we gave $1,000 to the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Everybody, who'd we give $1,000 to? Amen. God bless you, Billy, in heaven, and God bless your son. But how many of you remember that we gave $1,000 to who? And you remember that the reason we gave to it was because he's given out a personal invitation to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's the greater work that Jesus is talking about, because he couldn't do that work on the earth because he hadn't died yet and he hadn't been raised from the dead yet. Because in order to be saved, and all my Southern Baptists are going to love me, in order to be saved, you got to believe in your heart that Jesus died and that he rose from the dead. And so until that happened, you couldn't tell people that information. So that's the greater work that we're going to do and that we are doing. How many of you know, so that work that Franklin Graham did was the greater work. That work that we do at the end of our services is a greater work, because we get to tell people Jesus lived, Jesus died, Jesus rose again, and Jesus is coming back. But it says, if I'm reading it correctly, and I think I'm comprehending it, it says that we also should be doing what he did when he was on the earth. And that's healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils, meeting the needs of the poor. Are you listening to me? And preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Signs and wonders is what's lacking in the body of Christ. And if we had more of it, we'd have more people interested in it. Can I get an amen? That's a fact. Most assuredly, I say to you. Let's say it out loud. Come on, let's say it out loud. And by the way, this is, I kind of joked about it, but I want to make sure you see it. This is absolutely, positively a circle verse. I want to talk about this a little bit more. Say it with me out loud. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Now, a couple of things, and then I want to finish up, but a couple of things here. There's a couple of reasons why we haven't seen this operate as effectively as it should. And the primary reason is because the church has been baptized in unbelief. And one of the forms of unbelief that the devil brought into the church was leaving everything under the sovereignty of God. There's no doubt about it. And so what the church began to do was simply accept things that actually were not part of God's kingdom. Sickness, this may be news to you, and this is wonderful news if you're listening by radio or internet. Sickness and disease is not in the kingdom of God. Amen. Jesus said, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he went about healing the sick, not making them sick. Do you know that? Did you know demonic possession is not part of the will of God? Jesus encountered demons and he didn't buddy up to them and invite them to supper or marry one of them. He cast them out. And so one of the reasons why this hasn't been as effective as it is that we don't have unity of the message to teach and preach it. And so my recommendation to all of us would be, make this a circle verse, get it on your refrigerator, and start believing it. We need to believe it corporately as a group of believers. As Bible students at Life in Christ Church, we need to expect to see signs and wonders. We need to expect to see signs and wonders. When sick people come in here, we ought to have the courage and the conviction to be able to lay hands on them and command that sickness away from them in the name of Jesus. When demon-possessed people come around us, we ought to cast it out of them in the name of Jesus. When bad doctrine gets around us, we ought to have the courage to tell the truth and speak it in love and eradicate unbelief out of our atmosphere. So that's a real big reason. And then one other thing, have you ever wondered why people can go over to foreign lands like Africa and other places and preach the gospel and you'll see signs and wonders? It's because they haven't been brainwashed by Christian religion. It's a fact. It's a fact. We're baptized in it, man. You've got to meditate more on this than you do on the things of the world and the things you see in the world. That's true about any of this stuff, man. I'm telling you. Sometimes I just have to fast the news. I can't watch it anymore. I never thought I'd see our country be lied to consistently and regularly, and hardly anybody understand that you're being lied to. You're being lied to. There really is only one place to get the honest, pure truth, and that's the holy, living Word of God. See, Jesus isn't a truth. He is the truth. Ephesians chapter 4 says the truth is in Jesus. Amen. And then the other thing and the other reason that I think that we haven't seen this as effectively as we should is because it was never designed to be about one person doing it. Now, all of y'all that went through the epistles with me, and we kind of quit on them because I got through with Facebook and I knew we'd be doing a lot of other stuff, but we went through the epistles on Facebook and wanted to get people epistolated. And those of y'all that went through that with me, remember that when we got to 1 Corinthians and we got to that wacky church, Teresa, that was one of the titles she loved the most, those wacky Corinthians, which we could say that about all of us, right? But if you remember, they were a strange group. They knew the Lord. They loved the Lord. They were operating the gifts of the Spirit, but they were, you know, they didn't know how to handle communion. They had a guy doing some bad things in the church and they let him keep doing it and things like that. But if you look in the gifts of the Spirit chapter, you'll find out that these things weren't designed for it to be located in one person. It's supposed to be filtered throughout the whole body of believers, and somebody in the body of Christ, some pew sitter, should be able to lay hands on a sick person and get them healed. See, that's one of the things that we've done. And again, it's part of mankind's nature. It's part of how we are. Remember, God got the Israelites out of Egypt. How many of you know that story? It's worth going back and rehearsing and studying it. And he got them out. They were being absolutely brutalized by the Democratic Party. Remember that? See? Man, they were being lied to by Chuck Schumer. And Nancy Pelosi and her wonderful God-fearing husband, Paul Pelosi. Those kind of, anyway, hush. I don't care. Go vote. If you like the way things are, vote that way. But if you want something to change, vote different. And don't listen to lying Mitch McConnell, the rhino. We need fresh blood up there. We need people that actually love God and love our country and love America and love people the way they are. A man's a man and a woman's a woman. We need more country and Western people up there. I got a dog and a truck and a gun in my truck. Amen. Does that make sense to you? I'm trying to be humorous, but I'm telling you, it's real scary. And I'm going to tell you all this. If it turns out that we do not see a red wave in the midterms, I don't know if we will recover. We might be on the other side too far, because there's more of them than there is us, because there's more progressive Christians now than there are Bible-believing Christians. And you guys keep claiming, oh, I'll come get you out of jail, Mark. Yeah. Yeah. I'll be there Thursday. Hang on. Somebody said they'd never do that. Oh, well, you mean they'd never do it? They just went to a sitting former president's house and invaded his privacy and looked in his wife's closet. They'll do anything to stay in power. Are you listening to me? How'd that have to do with John 14, 12? Everything. Everything. What was I talking about? Oh, so it's the Israelites. They get delivered from the evil Egyptians who put them into bondage. God parts the Red Sea, parts it, parts that rascal. And they all walk on it on dry land. You know, monsoons are about over. Can you say hallelujah and thank you, Jesus? My golf ball don't go nowhere. It hits that grass and pew, just stakes right there. I want that thing to roll on. But anyway, in the monsoons, when you're out there and the water's mushy and you got your feet out there and, you know, your feet get a... And Teresa won't let me buy any more golf shoes because I've got 8 pair. Anyway, them rascals walked across there on dry ground. He not only parted the Red Sea, but the water, the ground they walked on was dry. And then the rascals followed them. They got in there and they said, we'll go in there. And he just, Red Sea clad. You know what they did about 40 days later? I don't even know how many days later. Moses goes up to get the Ten Commandments. And while he's up there getting the Ten Commandments, they want him to make an idol, a golden calf, so they can worship something. Some people's lives are going to be put in order in 2 weeks because Tom Brady's going to be back throwing a football. No, it's in our nature. We want to worship something. You know why? Because we're designed by God. And what God wants us to do is to worship Him. But He's so humble, He won't make us. Have you ever prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, make them? Make them. He won't do it, will He? He won't do it. So anyway, one of the reasons why I think we haven't been as effective is we tried to make it about a person, one person or one individual. I won't say any names, but so-and-so's got the healing anointing, or so-and-so's got a big TV ministry, or so-and-so says if you give them $77 for 7 months and pray over it and hold your hand on it just right, that it'll heal everything that's wrong with you, and send in, and I'll send you this bottle of oil that came from the Jordan River right out of Israel. Now, it's supposed to be that you come to the church and collectively the Spirit of God's moving, collectively the gifts of the Spirit are moving, not on just one person, but on everybody. And we see supernatural things manifest in the body of Christ. Now, let me say this to you. I was born again in 1978. I've been around church for a long, long time, and I've never seen it. I've never seen a real, genuine, true New Testament church service. So what I decided to do was, look, I'm not going to manufacture it. I'm not going to make it up. I'm going to tell people the information. And maybe it'll work on them. Maybe they'll be the ones that'll see it manifest. Are you listening to me? Can I get an amen? Does that make sense? So the next verse in the lineup, look at here. Somebody said, well, it all passed away after Jesus died. No, it didn't. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, for our gospel, the good news for our gospel, did not come to you in word only. There it is. It didn't come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. Isn't that beautiful? It ought to be more than just words. It ought to be demonstrated. Signs and wonders ought to be part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do I recommend we do? I recommend we put John 14:12 on our refrigerator. I recommend that we meditate on it, that we think about it, that we believe God for it, and that we embrace it and don't run from it. And then I would say this by the Spirit of God. I would say, don't ask for you to be the one that it happens to. Ask God to use somebody else for it, because that shows humility. Amen? And then Romans 15:19. And I'm going to give honor to some people this morning. How many of you remember a guy named Pete Hawker? Old Pete went to be with the Lord. What about some of the other guys that we knew? Tom Sears, anybody remember that name? I'm saying these names. I don't know if their family members would ever listen to me in a million years. But I think about them because there's a verse in here. There's a word in here that these men tried to keep going in the city of Sierra Vista. They tried to keep it going. Man, old Pete would play that accordion, and he loved to sing. He loved to sing. And he lived into his 90s. He was in a bad car wreck, and God healed him of that. I thought that would be the end of him. We were having the church ministers used to meet here till we served the church building, and we're all in a circle, and here he comes walking in with a big old eye patch on his eye and some guy helping him in. He starts singing songs to Jesus. I said all that to tell you because of this verse in here and a move of God that started. Paul said it like this, Romans 15:19, in mighty signs and wonders. What's the sermon title? When you come to Wednesday night Bible class, you'll be able to tell me the sermon title, right? In mighty signs and wonders, by the Spirit of God, by the power of the Spirit of God, not our power. See, I can't manufacture it. I can't. And again, the one thing that I've tried to be honorable about is I don't ever want to fake it. I don't ever want to mislead somebody. That's why I'm real careful about prophecy and trying to give people information that didn't really come from God. I've got family members that the church that they hooked up with, they were big on prophecy. And they came to church and everybody would prophesy over everybody. And they started basing their life on prophecies that people told them. Ooh. It caused some harm. Now, don't misunderstand me. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians that you should pray to prophesy, or you should covet prophecy. And again, these are things that I'm not the expert on it. I don't want to pretend to be an expert on it. I'm just simply giving you the information. But true prophecy tells you something that is worth hearing. Remember in Acts, one of the things that they always knew about was whenever a drought was coming. And they'd collect up money for the church that was involved in that drought, and they'd send money to help them during the drought. In our day and age, it would be when the stock market goes down 1,000 points on Friday. You listening? Amen. Amen. But see, signs and wonders were part of the church. Signs and wonders were part of what they expected to see and experience. And again, it's because God won't do what you don't expect him to do. What was one of the phrases that Jesus repeated over and over in his ministry? Be it done to you according to your faith. You know, next week we get to chapter 5, and a man has been laying at that place where they're going, where sick people were laid. A man's been laying there for 38 years, crippled. Crippled for 38 years. Listen to me now. And you know what question Jesus asked him? You know the question he asked him? Do you want to be made well? Seems strange to me. And I don't want to preach my sermon and get ahead of myself, but the man didn't give a real classy answer. He gave a whiny answer. And God healed him anyway. But see, God won't do for you what you don't want done. And I think part of the reason why we haven't seen more signs and wonders, especially in the United States of America, is we don't need them. There's always somebody we can call. And I'll tell you this, I'll take it even further than that. When you hear testimonies of people that do experience the supernatural, listen very carefully to this. When you hear testimonies of people that do experience the supernatural, if you listen to their testimony, you'll find out that they reached a stage called desperation. Because it's most of the time, it's only desperate people that'll do desperate things. And that's the danger of giving stuff to people. That's the danger of the government giving stuff to people. Then you expect to always get it. God wants us to be self-sufficient, not dependent on anybody. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that's what God created us to be. We should all be self-sufficient because He made us. And we can do all things because God made us. Sometimes the worst thing in the world is comfort. I know what I'm talking about, man. I got caught up in that. I know what I'm talking about. I got caught up in that. And so on some level, it doesn't bother me on some level if things aren't going 100% because it'll make me focus on the God of heaven. You know, one more thing, praise God. Man, I didn't think I'd be talking about the Egyptians and the Israelites this morning. I didn't. One more thing. You know what he told them? So they get over there. They make a calf, a golden calf, because Moses has been gone for about 40 days up there. And then they wander around the wilderness forever because they're a bunch of stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart people. And then they finally get over to where they're going to go over to the land that's flowing with milk and honey with big, large grapes and pomegranates. Oh, it's a sad thing that God says to them. It's a sad thing. It's a sad thing. He says, you're going to go over there? You're going to go over there and you're going to forget about me. I'm crying about that because that's what I do sometimes. I've given you all this stuff. I've laid all these blessings on you, and you forget about me. Now, he's not crying, but he's glad I am. Does that make sense? I'm telling you, man, one of the things that we haven't taught in this church, and I'll tell you, if some of the folks that's come back, and we're so glad you're back, I hope one of the things you found out about what I'm telling people now is this thing was never intended to be easy. It was never intended to be easy. Fight the good fight of faith. Your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. Knowing that your brotherhood in the world's going through the same sufferings. I may not have told that like I should have, but I tell it now. And I have pretty much the same results I had then. But it's true. He said, you're going to forget about me when you get over there. You're going to get all the stuff you need and you're going to forget about me. Oh, man, we need a revival. I don't even know what you call it because we got everything we'll ever need from God. But we need an awakening. We need our minds to get woke up. We need to realize that life is short. I mean, now that is one thing that I have finally figured out. I'm telling you, I woke up one morning and for some mysterious reason, I was 63. I mean, I started to get out of bed and I thought, my Lord, I haven't heard that many things squeak in my whole life. And by faith, I get up every day and put my feet on the ground and it takes me a little while to get everything adjusted properly. And I'm still got all the strength in my bones to feed the dogs because nobody else in the family will. God bless you and hallelujah to Jesus. But you know, that is something I think that it is an advantage of age. is that you realize, man, this stuff's fleeting. And nobody's going to remember anything about you except anything good you did. Amen. Amen. Praise God. There's just so much. There's only so much. Listen, one other thing, and then I'm going to quit. One other thing. There's only so much you can watch on that blasted television. Just there's only so much. At some point, you just got to click that thing off and go outside and look at the stars. Praise God. Praise God. And mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem around about to Illyricum, or however how you say that, Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. I'm telling you, percentage-wise, in our country, and in our world, I don't know if anybody's ever sat under somewhere where they actually had the gospel fully preached to them, because to have the gospel fully preached to them, you ought to see signs and wonders. You ought to know the Spirit of God was here. You ought to know that God moved, and He didn't move because the offering was big. He moved because bodies were healed. Minds were restored. Demons were cast out. Marriages were strengthened. Family relationships got better. Amen? Amen. That little thing in you that wants to be lazy at work got taken out of you. All the way up to Wednesday. And then it came right back. Can I get an amen? So the reason I brought up Pete Hawker and Tom Sears and those guys is that for many, many years in this town, they had the Full Gospel Businessmen's Association. And God bless them for having the courage to keep preaching and teaching and talking. And Jerry Federico went to one of those, and Jerry Federico met me there, and Jerry Federico came to this church and brought her son and daughter-in-law and husband and everybody else. Amen. Fully preach. Amen. So what's my closing argument? My closing argument is, let's don't run away from it. Let's believe it. Let's embrace it. Amen. Let's stay with it. Let's tell people, you haven't really been to church. You haven't been to church till you've seen God move. Come to our church and God will move. No, just kidding. All right, stand up on your feet. We'll talk to people by radio or internet. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. And Lord, we're not going to back away from it. We're going to embrace it. We're going to continue to believe that not only should the gospel be talked about, the gospel of Jesus Christ should be demonstrated. And I know at the end I may not have done a good enough job of this. What I wanted you to understand is that if Jesus represented God the Father, then we are to represent Jesus who represented God the Father. So everything that happened in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, should still be going on. And let's don't run away from it. And let's admit that we need to allow God to show us how we can do better about seeing that happen. Because there's hurting people out there. There's lost people out there. There's sick people out there. There's broke people out there. There's depressed people out there. And some point in their life, they'll get desperate enough that they'll turn to you. And I pray that the church has the information to give them what they need. Father, we thank you for that opportunity. Now, if you're listening by radio or internet and you've never received Jesus as Lord and Savior, now's the time. I get to do the greater work that Jesus never got to do. Now, Don't think I'm belittling the Lord, because the Lord did what had to be done. He suffered, He died, He rose from the dead. So He did it. But I get to tell you what Jesus did. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for your sins. And Jesus was raised from the dead for your justification. And all you got to do is call on His name. Oh, hallelujah. And I know I'm reaching somebody right now. I know by the Spirit I am. So say this with me. Say it right now. Say, dear God, I believe what Jesus did. I believe He lived. I believe I believe he died. And I believe he rose from the dead. And I receive him into my life as my Lord and my Savior in Jesus' name. And by faith, I say right now, I am a child of God. Man, you want to make this preacher happy? Let us know you prayed that prayer. Let us know it. We'd love to know it. I'll tell you what, we'd brag about it. We won't brag on us. We'll brag on Jesus. And we'll let people know that we're effectively reaching people with the good news of Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, thank you for this opportunity. If you prayed that prayer, get your hands on a Bible. My sermons, these messages are available at lifeinchristchurch.net. Listen to them, meditate on them, and begin to change your mind in Jesus' holy name. And all the people said,
Amen.
Amen. We'll see y'all back here on September the 11th.